International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Constance Bennett and Melvin Douglas in Love is Our Destiny, directed by Conrad Nick. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware. International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel greeting you from the stage of the Silver Theater in Hollywood and bringing you the 31st in our new series of dramatic productions. Next week, our star will be Joan Crawford. And the other brilliant personalities who will be heard during the remainder of the present series are Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. and Helen Hayes. But now for today's play. The house lights dim and the silver curtain rises on the opening act of Paul Franklin's romantic drama, Love is Our Destiny, which has been adapted for Silver Theater by True Boardman. Our stars are Melvin Douglas and Constance Bennett, who play the roles of Madeline Conlon and Mark Standish. The scene, the main reception hall of the palatial Sutton home on the outskirts of a great city. A young woman, tall, attractive, but with a relentless fury in her eyes, stands just inside the door as three figures confront her, barring her way.
All of you together won't stop me from seeing. I know he's here. I saw him come in.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Sutton. I tried to stop this young woman, but she's...
I know, Edward. Whether my husband is here or not is beside the point, Miss Conlon.
Sutton is my name, same as yours. Whether you and Ellen choose to accept that fact or not, you've certainly given us no reason to accept it. Father!
Margaret, my dear, what's... Oh, Miss Conlon, I might have expected this.
Yes, I should think you might.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We may just as well talk the matter out once and for all. Will you step into the library?
Ellen, she's very...
I know what I'm doing, my dear. Miss Conlon?
Father, what do you suppose...
The child, Ellen. Your father began proceedings to have the child taken from her and placed in our custody.
The child? Oh, but is that fair? After all, whatever we may think of Peter's having married a model...
Ellen, simply because your brother was tricked into marrying a girl like Madeline Conlon, there's no reason for allowing his child to remain under her influence. Oh, if Peter had lived, it might have been... No.
No! Oh, Ellen!
He's dead. This gun went off. He's dead.
And you killed him?
I killed...
No. No, I didn't. Let me go. Stop her. Edward, she's going to get away. Stop her. Stop her.
Talk about a break, Mark. A beautiful front page case like this just 3 months before election.
Well, that's all you need, Chief.
All I need. Now, wait a minute, Mark. Let's not kid ourselves. The boy's gone. Boat's gone, too, for Lou Tracy as district attorney. I could send 20 Madeline Collins to the chair and still not lick that reform group. But look, suppose somebody else were to prosecute Madeline Conlon and convict her. One of my deputies, for instance, who already has a record of 34 convictions in a row.
You mean me?
Right. Mark, that's why I sent for you. You're going to prosecute Madeline Conlon.
Swell.
And Mark, if you get a conviction, the organization backs you for district attorney. How about it?
Oh, boy, how about it? Where's that file?
Here. Maybe you better look it over before you talk to the girl. Boys have already dug up some pretty interesting dope. Little matters that she might not want brought out in an open court. Especially since she has a kid. Here, look out. You've got something
else. No, it's just a picture. Hey. Maddie. Good Lord, I know this girl.
You know her?
Well, I used to. We lived in the same street when I was in high school. She probably wouldn't even remember me.
You sure of that? Maybe I'd better turn it over to somebody else.
And why? Because I knew her 10 years ago? What difference does that make? She's guilty, isn't she? Well, I happen to believe that guilty people should be convicted, whoever they are. This time will be no exception.
This is her cell, Mr. Standish.
All right, Major.
Conlon, this is Mr. Standish. Well, speak up. Oh, it's no use, sir. She's been like this ever since she came in.
It's all right. Suppose you wait
outside. Okay, I'll be right.
Miss Conlon, you know who I am.
Yes. You're the deputy district attorney.
Won't you sit down? Now, suppose you tell me exactly what happened that afternoon in Alan Sutton's library.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? It would make it so easy for you, wouldn't it? You see, I've heard all about you, Mr. Standish. 34 convictions in a row. That's a wonderful record, Mr. Standish. A wonderful record.
My record has nothing to do with this. All I want is the truth.
And you'll hear the truth. In court, not before.
You mean you're going to plead not guilty?
Yes.
You sure that's wise, Miss Conlon? I'm sorry you feel this way. There are certain facts of this case that I'd rather have kept out of the court records. And the newspapers.
What are you talking about?
Checks, mostly. Checks that were paid to Madeline Conlon within the last 3 years. Paid by two different men who had no apparent reason to give large sums to an attractive young widow.
Lying. You have no way of knowing about...
Haven't I?
Well, even if it is true, it has nothing to do with this case.
The prosecution's job is to show the character of the defendant.
Oh, but you don't understand. This trial, the death of Alan Sutton is one thing. What you're talking about is quite apart from that. Please, please believe me, Mark.
Mark. So you did remember.
Didn't you?
84th Street. A girl who lived in the flat on the corner. And a fellow who worked in the grocery store down the block. That's a couple of yesterdays ago, Manny. Well, incidentally, I was already assigned to this case before I realized.
It's funny.
Madeline, listen to me. You're going to plead guilty.
Am I?
I won't lie to you, Madeline. I can't get you off. I wouldn't if I could. But I can promise you silence about this other matter, about the checks.
If I plead guilty.
That's it.
Of course, there's no doubt in your mind that I am guilty.
I wish there were.
Okay. Whatever I say, you're going to see that I'm convicted anyway. I'll plead guilty.
Good. I'll need a deposition. You'll be brought down to my office tomorrow afternoon. Understand?
Yes, I understand.
Madeline, I'm trying to help you. Will you believe that?
Yes. If you'll let me see my boy.
Your boy? Of course you can see him. I'll have the boy brought down here this afternoon.
Oh, no, not here. I wouldn't have Tommy see me here. Outside, Mark, tomorrow. On the way back from your office, please.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Manny. The regulations...
You want a conviction, don't you?
All right. I'll arrange it. Tomorrow afternoon. One thing I don't understand, Madeline. In the confession you just dictated back there, you said that you went to the Sutton house with a gun, determined to force Sutton to give you money to support the child. And in the argument, you shot him. Well, what happened to the gun?
I threw it away in the river.
In the river? Where?
I don't remember.
You've got to remember. You've got to think, Madeline.
Oh, will you quit it? I made a confession. Now let it go at that. I said I'm guilty as I agreed I would. What more do you want?
Is it park, you said, Mr. Sandish?
Huh? Oh, yeah, thanks.
Want me to wait, sir?
Yeah, stay here.
Right.
It's this way, Madeline.
Where?
The summer house, just ahead.
Mark, you won't... I mean, in front of him.
No, of course not. I'll wait here. Tell the nurse she should join me.
Thank you.
Go on.
Mommy. Oh, Mommy, Mommy.
My darling.
Oh, Mommy, I thought you wasn't coming.
I'm here, darling. Really and truly here. Nurse, Mr. Standish says you're to wait with him down there by the fountain.
Oh, Mommy, there was an old man with an organ and a monkey here a little while ago. Did you see the monkey?
No, darling. Now I want you to tell Mommy all about yourself. Are you all right? Are you being a good boy? Do you like where you're staying?
Uh-huh. I like it all right. Except I don't see you. You just have to be away, Mommy.
Yes, sir. Mommy says just have to.
You mean it's a job, kind of?
Mm-hmm.
A job, kind of. Well, it's okay, I guess. But don't take too long. You see... Hello, mister.
Hello, Sonny.
Ma.
Do you know my mommy?
Yes, I do.
Who are you? Mommy, is he my daddy?
Oh, no, darling. This is Mr. Standish. He's no friend of mommy's.
Oh, does he work where you work when you have to go away from me, like now?
Yes, darling. Something like that.
Mr. Standish, The child is due back at 4. Perhaps I'd better...
Yes, I know. Madeline.
All right, all right. Goodbye, darling. How about a big hug for Mummy?
Bye, Mummy.
Bye. You want a hug too, mister?
Why, sure, Sonny.
Bye, mister.
Goodbye, Sonny.
Come along, Tommy.
Bye-bye, Mummy. Bye, mister.
All right, Madeline.
I know. To go.
Manny is a sweet kid.
Yes.
Manny, you're not crying.
No.
Might help.
No.
I could wait in the cab.
Oh, will you quit it? You think you're making it any easier? Come on. I'm ready to go.
Madeline.
Well, we can't just sit here staring at one another. Say something.
All right, I will. I didn't sleep much last night. I did some remembering. 11 years ago, 84th Street. I got licked in a fight by a kid who said something I didn't like about the girl who lived in the corner flat.
And so that was why. Against one?
Yeah, I remembered other things too, Maddie. A Sunday excursion boat. A couple of kids on the deck. In the moonlight. That was pretty big talk, as I recall. They were both going to get $1 million. He was going to get his managing a railroad.
No, it was a gold mine. He was going to stumble on one in Africa.
Yeah, that's right. And the girl was going to get hers even easier. She was going to marry her million.
And she did. Only, it didn't work out quite as she'd planned. The boy she married was disinherited by his parents, so he left her. But he didn't get far, because an auto crash stopped him on his way. So the dead girl didn't get a million. Instead, she got a child whose father was already dead when he was born. That sort of rounds out the remembering.
I'm sorry, Madeline. Believe me, I'm sorry.
Why? Is it your fault that I married Peterson? Come on, let's go.
Look at me.
Well?
Did you kill Alan Sutton?
No.
Then why did you go there in the first place?
He was going to take Tommy away from me. To start the suit.
What of it? No court would ever...
No. I'm afraid they would, Ma. You see, well, Alan Sutton had the same evidence you found. They all believed I was no fit mother.
Yeah. But the gun, Mandy. What happened with that?
I came in and begged him. Promised him anything. If he'd only let me keep Tommy. All he did was laugh at me.
And?
Just kept laughing and laughing. He wouldn't listen. I was frantic. I slapped his grinning face.
Did he strike you?
No. Pushed me away. Nope, his desk. Next thing I knew, he had a gun in his hand.
He had a gun?
Yes. He pointed it at me. He would have killed me, Mark. Oh, you do believe me, don't you?
I'm trying to, Madeline. I'm trying to, but... How did you get the gun away from him?
I didn't. I grabbed him and then the gun went off and... Well, that's all, Ma. Sutton was dead.
I see. But there's one thing I still can't get through my head, Maddie. Why did you take those checks?
But Tommy, he was desperately sick 2 years ago. Hospitals want money and they don't ask where it comes from.
But the Suttons, they would have given it to
him. Oh, yes, Bradley. They would have loved that. Proof that I couldn't take care of my own child.
Let me get this straight. You mean you signed that confession just to keep this other matter quiet?
Yes. Why not? You told me yourself no jury would ever believe me. Well, this way, at least there are some things my boy will never have to know.
But that means you're not guilty. And if you're not guilty, I won't stand for...
Just out, X-Free. Madeline Conlon confesses to murder.
No, listen.
Vatican murderer confesses to killing Sutton. We'd all
know. Oh, you promised me that confession wouldn't be made public before the trial.
Yeah, that must be Tracy's work. He wasn't going to miss a bet on publicity for the department. Come on. They want a front page case, all right, they're going to get it.
The four cars
Bennett and Melvin Douglas bring you Act Two of Love is Our Destiny, I wonder if I might say a very brief word about the most special occasion of your whole life, your wedding. For no matter how sophisticated you are, that unforgettable moment when you stand at the side of the man you love and whisper, I do, is undeniably one of the most important moments you'll ever know. For some of you, that gala event is almost at hand. For others, it may be still sometime in the future. In either case, here is news that every bride-to-be from Maine to California will surely welcome. If you will, John Conte.
Well, that news, ladies, is about Bride's Week. Jewelers and silverware dealers everywhere have set aside the entire week beginning tomorrow, Monday, as Bride's Week. They have planned special displays of smart personal jewel gifts, sumptuous chests of silver, and many other beautiful wedding gift suggestions. So, tomorrow, look for the bride mannequin in your silverware dealer's window. She's a fetching little figure with frock of white satin and bridal veil softly flattering. And she'll lead you straight to the most amazing value in silver plate today. A gorgeous bridal chest of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate. 62 gleaming pieces, now only $59.75. I'd like to tell you now about the patterns it comes in. The sterling-like First Love and the pierced pattern Love Lace. But that'll have to wait till later in the program. Our lovely young star, Constance Bennett, will have a word to say then, too, so be sure to listen, won't you?
Again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain rises on the second act of Love is Our Destiny, starring Melvin Douglas and Constance Bennett as Mark Standish and Madeline Conlon. With the headlines screaming Madeline's confession across the city, interest is widespread and... A startling highlight in the Sutton murder case is the resignation of Mark Standish, deputy district attorney, who had been in charge of prosecution of the accused Madeline Conlon. It is reliably reported that Standish quit his county post to handle the defense of the self-confessed slayer. District Attorney Lewis Tracy refused to comment on this new development, admitted, however, that if Standish should attempt to defend Miss Conlon, he, Tracy, is prepared to spring a dramatic surprise when the case comes to trial early next week. Now for Florida.
You. You can't resign to defend me.
I have resigned, and I'm going to defend you.
But you mustn't, Mark. Oh, don't you suppose I know what this case means to you? Everything you've ever worked for. You'll be district attorney. Everyone says so. And that's your meaning, don't you see? Oh, not in boredom, but in achievement. That gold mine you're going to stumble on. You found it. You can't lose it now.
Madeline, even if I believed you were guilty, it'd be impossible. You see, I have found what I was looking for. But it has nothing to do with being D.A. I love you, Madeline. And all of this, as terrible as it is for you, has almost been a blessing for me. It's made me sure.
And you are sure now? Terribly, terribly sure?
Yes, darling. Oh, Maddie, you mustn't cry.
Oh, my darling, you only knew how I wanted to.
Defendant Madeline Conlon, having availed herself of her legal right to change her plea, will stand before this court charged with murder and or manslaughter and or other charges specified in this indictment. We shall proceed. Counsel for the state.
Ready, Your Honor. Lewis Tracy, district attorney of this county.
Counsel for the defense.
Mark Standish, Your Honor. Counselor at law.
And I protest, Your Honor. Mr. Standish is a former prosecutor entrusted with the handling of this case. Cannot legally serve now as counsel for the defendant. Section 162 of the state code states specifically that such action is a misdemeanor.
Well, Mr. Standish, Mr. Tracy is correct in his citation.
Your Honor, I'm aware of the section. But may I point out that the statute does not deny me the privilege of defending Miss Conlon if this court will permit such defense. And I stand ready to accept whatever penalty this court may deem proper. If, in pursuing justice, I am guilty of a crime.
Very well. Under the circumstances, Mr. Standish, this court will permit you to stand as counsel.
Objection?
Overruled.
Exception.
Let it be so recorded. However, Mr. Standish, I have a further warning for you. In taking this action, not only will you be guilty of a misdemeanor, but you will automatically forfeit your license to practice law.
I know that, Your Honor.
Mark, no. You can't do it. I won't let you be disbarred.
Madeline, I know what I'm doing. It's all right. Your Honor, if the court please, the defense is ready.
And the state will prove that this woman did with malice aforethought willfully force her way into the home of Alan Sutton and murder him. We shall present the defendant's own confession to murder.
No. No, I didn't.
But you did force your way in. Answer. Answer, Miss Conlon.
I didn't say that. I didn't.
But you did say you'd kill him if he took your child away from you. You admitted that in your confession, didn't you, Miss Conlon?
No. No. I never meant that.
Answer, Miss Conlon, answer.
Oh, I only tried to make him see the boy was mine.
You opened your bag and took out a gun?
I didn't. I didn't, I tell you. I had no gun.
But yesterday you admitted the gun was yours.
I couldn't. I didn't. I said...
We know what you said, Miss Conlon.
No, no, I did tell you the truth.
You had even planned this out for weeks before, hadn't you?
Yes. No, no, I didn't plan it. Not killing him.
Ah, but you planned it just the same, didn't you?
No, I swear I didn't. Mom!
You killed Alan Sutton.
I didn't. No, 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 don't keep saying that.
You killed him.
No.
You killed him.
No.
You killed him.
No, no, leave me alone.
She killed him.
She killed him.
She killed him.
Are you lying? You're all lying. Mark, John, make it stop.
That's all. Your witness, Mr. Standish.
Miss Conlon. Madeline, you've got to pull yourself together.
Yes. Yes, I know.
No. Can you answer just one or two questions for me?
Yes. I'll try.
Miss Conlon, you have sworn that the gun which killed Alan Sutton was not yours, but his, and that he himself took it from his desk.
Yes, that's right.
And was this that gun, Miss Conlon?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Your Honor, I object. What kind of charlatanism is this? Counsel for defense introducing new evidence on redirect examination. Pulling the old melodramatic trick of producing a gun that may have belonged to any.
Your Honor, it doesn't belong to just anybody. It belongs or did belong to Alan Sutton. And I enter it in evidence as defense exhibit A. It was not introduced previously in this trial because it was only found this morning. Found by a professional diver in the river where the defendant, in her panic, had thrown it. I also enter in evidence the affidavit of said diver. And that of the clerk who sold this gun to Alan Sutton 2 days before his death.
And you, as intelligent men and women, are not going to be deceived by the hysterical melodramatics which Mr. Standish and Madeline Conlon have paraded before you in this courtroom. Remember this. Madeline Conlon did confess to the murder of Alan Sutton. And having confessed it, you have no other course.
And may I remind you that the prosecution bases its entire case on the supposition that Miss Conlon owned the gun which killed Alan Sutton. Defense has conclusively proved that she did not own that gun. Furthermore, that the nature of the fatal wound indicates that the gun was in the hand of the dead man when it was discharged. The prosecution has made no case, ladies and gentlemen. And they could make no case. Madeline Conlon is innocent. And I know that when you file into that jury room, your conscience will not break.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you agreed upon a verdict?
We have. We, the jury, find the defendant, Madeline Conlon, not guilty.
I'll answer it, Mummy. Please let me answer.
All right, darling.
Hello? This is Mr. Standish's residence. He wants to speak to him. It's for you, Daddy. It's Judge Fulton.
Oh, thanks, honey. Hello? Yes, Judge. You what? Well, that's a relief. I thought you were going to impose that suspended sentence you still got hanging over my head. I see. Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. I'll talk it over with Mrs. Standish and call you up in the morning. Good night, Judd.
What's you going to talk over with Mommy?
Oh, she wouldn't be interested.
Wouldn't I?
No, not a chance. Judge Fulton says he just got word the Supreme Court passed on a resolution of the State Bar Association today. A resolution to give back his license to practice to a fellow named Standish.
Mark.
And by a strange coincidence, the Reform Party bigwigs were also meeting. It seems they have an idea that this same Standish fellow would be a good candidate to run against Lou Tracy for district attorney. Well, what do you think, Mrs. Standish? Would you say we were interested?
Oh, darling. I'm so happy for you. Your goal, mine. Mine, too. We found them, haven't we, darling?
And now Conrad Nagel is stepping out in front of the silver curtain with our stars, Constance Bennett and Melvin Douglas.
What is this, an interview?
Well, not exactly, Mel. It's just our usual informal get-together. Folks, meet Constance Bennett and Melvin Douglas. Connie and Mel, meet the folks.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I probably should have warned you that you're supposed to be a little more conversational than that.
Oh, we're supposed to say something?
That's right.
Okay, I'll make it short. I enjoyed being with you on the Silversea Theater, so thanks for the use of the hall, and I hope I can come back again sometime.
You most certainly can, Mel. I'll extend an invitation for next season right now. In the meantime, lots of luck.
Thanks, Conrad. The same to you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Mel. Wait a minute. Before you go, Connie, I want to say thank you again for being with us tonight, especially tonight. You see, tomorrow begins Brides Week, and brides being rather glamorous people, well, we can't help feeling that we're particularly lucky to have a glamorous star like Connie Bennett at the inauguration ceremonies.
Thank you, Conrad. And I really enjoyed being here. And as far as luck goes, well, I think the girl who's really in luck is the bride who gets the lovely 1847 Rogers Brother silver plate that John Connie mentioned a few minutes ago. I saw one of those new bridal chests yesterday. And as we say in Hollywood, it's colossal.
Well, thank you, Connie. Yeah. John Connie, will you take over?
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll know why Constance Bennett is so enthusiastic when you see that gorgeous bridal chest yourself. For here is silver plate of such striking beauty of design and superior craftsmanship, you will love and cherish it as long as you live. So this coming week, Brides Week, visit your silverware dealer and let him show you the many thrillingly lovely patterns it comes in. Look at First Love particularly, that sensational 1847 Rogers Brothers pattern whose high-raised, richly detailed motif brings sterling silver craftsmanship to finest silver plate. Also, Love Lace, graceful, pierced pattern of wedding ring orange blossom inspiration. And then agree, as you can't help but agree, that certainly here is the gift of gifts for 1939 brides. Silver plate by 1847 Rogers Brothers. Melvin Douglas' new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture is Tell No Tales, and at the Columbia Studio, he has just completed Good Girls Go to Paris. Constance Bennett's latest picture is the United Artists' Hal Roach production, Topper Takes a Trip. Next Sunday at the same time, Silver Theater stars Joan Crawford in Train Ride, a stirring drama about a journey to fate. Be sure to listen. In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want international sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. Love is Our Destiny was by Paul Franklin and was adapted for Silver Theater by True Boardman. Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Felix Mirrors. John Conti speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.